I was at a wedding Thursday night. I had a thought on the opening Mishnah of Pirkei Avos, maybe a new way of understanding something. And as a Rebbe who's trying to inspire Talmidim, I have an obligation to share this with you. So the Mishnah says, we know the Mishnah. Moshe kibal Torah miSinai, Masar Yeshua, Yeshua to the Zakenim, Zakenim to the Nevi'im, Nevi'im to Anshe Knesset HaGadola, and the Anshe Knesset HaGadola said three things. I want to focus on the second thing. Have a Mesunim Bedin. What does it mean? Be patient, be diligent in judging. That if you're on a Beis Din, the Pashup Shad is if you're on a Beis Din, you've seen a case before, don't say, oh, this is the same case, I know. Got to hear it out. Hear out the parties. Don't be too quick to come to conclusions. Same thing is true when you're not on a Beis Din and you're judging your friend or you're judging yourself. Be patient. Be patient before you pass judgment. V'hamidu talmidim harbe. V'hamidu talmidim harbe. Establish for oneself many students. V'asu siyag la'Torah and make a fence around the Torah. Okay, let's talk about the second one. I'll ask you two simple questions. V'amidu talmidim harbe. So first of all, there's a halach in Shulchan Aruch, which I love to point out to Rabbi Kalinsky, that a rabbi is only allowed to have 25 students in a shir. It's against the Shulchan Aruch to have more than 25 students for one rabbi. And if you look in the Pesach Yitzhuv at the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch in Yoredeya, in Hilchos Malamdim, it says that Bizman Azeh, I think it quotes from the Chamude Daniel, Bizman Azeh, 10, maybe 12. You read us Hadoros. Talmidim need the personal attention. The Pesach Tshuva brings. That Bizman Azeh, the number is less. Ashir shouldn't have more than 10, maybe 12, he says. I would argue that Bizman Azeh, you know, one, maybe two. Everyone needs the individual attention. So what is V'amidu Talmidim Harbe? Is it such a maila to have so many students? Not such a mila. I think it takes away. I think the Rebbe can't properly address and develop a kesher and teach and teach on the proper level for so many people. It doesn't work. Maybe that's why people don't come so much on Sunday, because they want to make sure at least one day a week, 10, maybe 12. Okay? Interesting. It's a good leave as chutz. And second of all, who's the Mishnah talking to? So if you're a teacher by profession, so you should be zocha to teach for many years and inspire a lot of people. Shkoyach. And if you're not a teacher by profession, v'amidu talmidim harbe, everything in Pirkei Avos has to be shavu l'chol nefesh. So I have a mesunim bedin. I'm not a dayan. I don't sit on a beis din. So what does it mean for me? Also siyag l'torah. What do you mean? I'm not one of the rabbis who makes gezeiros or takanos for Torah. Hamidu talmidim harbe. I'm not a teacher. And even as a teacher, what is this inyan of being establishing and having many students? Hard to understand. Develop a lot of students. Who says it's good to have more and more and more students? You spread the Rebbe so thin that he doesn't actually help anyone. So what's the mile of Amidu Talmidim Harbe? So I saw many years ago in the Chazon Ish Haggadah. I have the English edition at home. It's on page 101. At the Chazon Ish said, the way to read this Mishnah of Amidu Talmidim Harbe doesn't mean to develop a lot of students. That's not necessarily such a mile. The Chazon Ish read it, not develop a lot of students, but what? Develop your students a lot. V'amidu talmidim, stand up your students harbe. Stand them up a lot. Give your talmidim a lot. Help them to develop themselves a lot. The Rav had a very similar understanding of this Mishnah. If you look in Rav Shechter Sefer on Rav Soloveitchik called Divrei HaRav, on page 105, he says, Kim'at the same part. V'amidu talmidim harbe means teach your talmidim to have independence. My brother David, Rav Davidel Shlita, from Eretz Yisrael, is married to Rina Stavsky. Rina's grandfather was a Rav in Ohio for 47 years. He was a Talmud of Rav Soloveitchik. He had a mustache. Very relevant, thank you. In case you aren't sure, apparently Rabbi Stavsky had a mustache, okay? He had that for all 47 years? I don't know, it's Tzarechir, you have to look into it. So Rabbi Stavsky, when he was a young Rav, and he was building his kehil over there, so he called his Rebbe one time, he called the Rav, he called Rav Soloveitchik, because he had a halachic shal, and he was nervous, he didn't want to pass him without talking to the Rav. And he said, the Rav Soloveitchik was doichem b'shnei adayim. He said, nah, I'm not helping you at all. Rebbe, I need help. No, you don't need help. It's time for you to stand on your own feet. You know the halacha. We learned for many years. You know the halacha. You're not going to be able to call me every time you have a shayla. It's time for you to go out on your own. V'amidu talmidim harbi, to stand on your own. That's how Rav Soloveitchik understood this, Maimar Chazal. V'amidu talmidim harbi, that your talmidim should be able to stand a lot. They should be able to hold their own. Not develop a lot of students, but develop, like the Chazon Ish said, develop your students a lot. And what that means, not only for professional teachers, but it's true for parents, and it's true for students, right? To develop yourself a lot, to be able to stand on your own 2 feet. I always say my heretical vart in Pirkei Avos. I've told it to you in the past. Asei lecha rav v'stalik min asafik. It's later in the parak. Yesterday's parak. Parak Aleph of Avos. Asei lecha rav v'stalik min asafik means what? So the pashup shot is, if you have a Rebbe, then you want to have sveikos, because you can always call your Rebbe and ask him what to do. So I say a heretical vart. I say, Asei lecha rav, it's very important to have a Rebbe, but not everything's a suffix. You don't have to call your Rebbe for everything. Now some people say, what do you mean? Das Torah, I have to ask my Rebbe. Should I buy this pair of glasses or that pair of glasses? What do you think with your Das Torah? What do you recommend? Are these the right shoelaces for these shoes? Leave your Rebbe alone and figure it out. A guy comes to me and says, you know, like, should I keep going out with this girl? I have no idea. Do you like her? Do you like her? Do you like her personality? Are you attracted to her? Do you have a similar hashkafa? No, seriously, what do you want from me? I love my wife. I chose Elisa Weinberg, Elisa Horowitz at the time. Okay, so you go figure it out. What do you want from me? I'm going to paskin for you if you continue to go out with the girl? I don't paskin anything. I can't even paskin what you should do if you forgot to say Yalav Yavo today. Okay, you should repeat Shmona Esrei. I'll paskin that one. And my third Pesach, yeah. Although I have to retract a little bit on one of my Fiske Halacha recently. Because the dog, because there's a Rashi at the end of Mesech HaZavodah Zarah, I saw over Yantiv, that says that if a person, it's talking about a whole question with chametz, and it says if there's a problem, he can give it to his dog. I said, well, he give it to his dog? Well, who's his dog? A Jew has a dog? So it could be. You see, according to Rashi, maybe a Jew could have a dog. I don't know. I found that very, very strange. What is Aradaf Ayin Dalid? A Jew with a dog. I always thought Jews aren't supposed to have dogs. Dog's a malik. Oh, you feed it chametz. I don't know. Maybe buy a dog just in case of emergency on Pesach. I don't know. Gotta look into it a little more. Okay, but v'amidu talmidim harbe, a person has to be able to stand on his own 2 feet. That's what the Rav says, and that's what the Chazon Ish said. But Thursday night, I had a new understanding of this Mishnah when I was sitting with Yonatan, Gabriella Colton, and Yishai Steinmetz's wedding. And we were sitting by the chuppah, we were learning a little Pirkei Avos, and the Bartanura says something on the second Mishnah, which helped me to better understand the first Mishnah. What's the second Mishnah in Avos? Take a look, source number 2. Shimon HaTzadik HaYim Mishiyarei Knesses HaGadola Hu HaYa Omer Al Shlosha Dvar Ma'olam Omeid. Upon 3 things the world stands, Al Torah Val Avod Val Gemilas Chasadim. Everyone knows this Mishnah. The world stands on 3 things. Torah, Avoda, which obviously classically meant Avoda space of Mikdash, Karbanos, Bismanazet means Tfilah, we're just learning. And Gemilas Chasadim. Those are the 3 pillars of the world. Now notice again, it says these are the things that the Olam is Omed upon. Just like Vehemidu Talmidim Harbe. So if we understand what Omed means here, maybe we'll even understand better. Chavir, see what we're doing here? If we understand what Omed means by the world stands on these 3 things, maybe we can better understand V'hamidu. It's an interesting lashon, V'hamidu talmidim harbe. Stand up your students. What do you mean Omed? Stand up your students. The Rav saying, give them independence. Allow them to stand on their own 2 feet. The Chazon Ish, develop your students a lot. Not develop a lot of students, develop your students a lot. Enrich, but the lashon of V'hamidu is an interesting lashon. There's other ways you could have said, teach your students a lot. Educate them a lot. Says Rav Avadim Bar Tanura in source number 3, Ha'olam Omeid, look at this, Lo Nivra Ha'olam Ela Bishvil Shlosha Dvarim Halalu. Lo Nivra Ha'olam, the world was not created except for these 3 things, because of. Lo Nivra Ha'olam Ela Bishvil. Omeid means that when Hashem had to decide, for what reason should I make a world? What was the motivation for the world? Upon what does the world omeid? Not just what allows the world to continue to function. But what's the tachlis when Hashem says it's kedai to make a world? What do they have in mind? Lo nivra olam ela b'shevil, dot, dot, dot. Omeid means the world was created for these things. That's what omeid means. So if someone says, why did God make a world? You could answer very comfortably, God made a world for Torah. And therefore, says the Nefesh HaChaim, in several places in Shar Dalid, in Parakut Aleph, in Parakhaf Hey, if there'd be a second without Torah, the world would go back to Tohu Vavohu. Avoda, karbanos, if not for the Beis HaMikdash, if not for tefillah, the world would collapse. Gemilas chasadim, without chesed, olam chesed yibana, the world is built on chesed. Torah begins with chesed, the Torah ends with chesed. Hashem doing chesed for Adam and Chava, Hashem doing chesed at the end of the Torah to bury Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? Olam chesed, these are the things upon which the world, what Hashem had in mind when He made the world. So chevra, you know what you could say? It's very excited to think of this. I think it's a beautiful pshat. The midu talmidim harbe means what? Tell your Talmud that just like the tachlis of the world is what? Is Torah. And just like Hashem said, the world was created lo nivra ha'olam ela b'shvil avoda, and lo nivra ha'olam ela b'shvil gemilas chasadim. So to be able to say to someone, whether it's our student or our child or ourselves, to be able to say lo nivra ha'olam ela b'shvil to that person, the world was created for you. If not for you, there could be no world. You're not just a background player to the universe. Bishvili nivra ha'olam. That's what v'hamidu. Teach your Talmud to believe that his avodas Hashem matters a lot. Not just to himself, but to the entirety of the universe. One of my favorite varts that I ever saw on Avos was from a thin little English volume called Chizke Avos. In the Chizke Avos, he writes on a mission in the fourth parak, which you don't have on the page in front of you, but in the Chizke Avos, it says on the Mishnah, listen to the words, the Mishnah says, Al tihivaz lechol adam. What's the pashup shot? Al tihivaz lechol adam. Don't be scornful of any person. You know why? What does the Mishnah say? She'ein lecha adam, she'ein lo shah. Because every person has their moment. Which means that the kid you picked on in high school might be your boss one day. So be careful. Al tihivaz, don't be negative, don't be scornful. Don't look down upon anyone because you never know when you're going to need that person. Maybe you'll have an illness and he'll be the doctor who specializes in that thing. So just be careful. And don't do it obviously in a self-serving way, but do it because every person has his moment and every person is chashuv and every person deserves respect. But in the Chizkei Avos, written by a fellow named Rabbi Kunstler, Rabbi Kunstler says in the Chizkei Avos, Alti baz l'chol adam means don't be, he says it a little more heavy, but we can say it even a little more positive. Alti baz l'chol adam, don't be a disgrace l'chol adam, to all of mankind. And he explains, how does a person become a disgrace to all mankind? I'll say it without, disgrace sounds heavy, I'll say it a little lighter. How does a person let down humanity? How do you let the whole world down? This should give you tremendous chizik. It shouldn't make you feel overwhelmed or anxious. How does a person let the whole world down, the whole universe down? You know how? If he doesn't believe in himself. Al tibaz l'chol adam. Don't disgrace the world. The world is counting upon you. Hamidu talmidim harbe. Lo nivra ha'olam ela b'shvil you. Don't let the world down. Don't disgrace humanity by not taking yourself seriously. Take yourself seriously. Take your avodah seriously. The world is counting on you. The world is omid on Torah. The world is omid on avodah. The world is omid on gemilas chasadim. The world is omid on you. Say your name and your mother's name. That's what the world is omid upon. That's what the world is omid upon. There's a Rambam that we often think about during the Aseret Yemei Teshuva. Famous Rambam, Hilchos Teshuva. But the Rambam Dafka writes very clearly, I want to review the Rambam with you in the third paragraph of Hilchos Teshuva. The Rambam Dafka writes, this is a halacha for all year round. He emphasizes that. How do I view myself and how do I view the world every single day of my life? Says the Rambam in Hilchos Teshuva. Lefichach, tzarech kol adam sheyira atzmo kol hashana kula. A person needs to see himself every single day of the calendar year. Gilu chetzio zakai v'chetzio chayev. That he's exactly 50-50. 50% innocent, 50% guilty. V'chein kol ha'olam. And to look at the whole world as hanging in the balance. This is not a Aseret Yemei Teshuva thing. That the Beinoni has 10 days to work out his fate. Every single day, every moment of every day, a Jew has to look at himself as hanging 50-50, and the whole world is hanging 50-50. Chetzio zakai v'chetzio chayev. Chata chet echad. If he makes a bad call, he decides to do something foolish, he does an avera, he gives into a temptation. Hare hechriyas atzmo v'es kol ha'olam kula l'kaf chova. Then he takes the whole world, himself and the whole world, and he tilts the scales, God forbid, in a destructive way, v'garam lo hashchasa. And he damages, the whole world has just been harmed by his action. Asa mitzvah achas, where it's bolded, if he does one good deed, Every day of your life, you have to say, my next move is going to change the course of history. Hard to believe that. That's why the opening Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says the Rebbe has to spend his whole career trying to convince his Talmud that that's true. And we as Jews have to spend our whole lives convincing our children and ourselves that that's true. That my next move really matters. V'garam lo v'lahem, look at these beautiful Lashonos. V'garam lo v'lahem teshuva v'hatzala. And your move could bring great salvation and great hope and great promise to humanity, to the universe. Shenemar v'tzadik yisod olam. If you tip the scales, if you become more good than bad, then you're a tzaddik. You're halachically defined as a tzaddik. V'amech kulam tzaddikim. The pasuk in Yeshaya. You're a tzaddik. And you now become yisod olam. The world is resting upon you. Shlosha dvar ma'olam omid, says Bartanura, lo nivra ha'olam ela b'shvil, ve'amidu talmidim harbe. Teach your Talmud to have such, not just independence, like the Rav said, but such confidence to believe that what? That I am so chashiv in the world. So you'll say, what about Gaiva? Make your Talmud to big bal Gaiva. So I once heard that Rav Shlomo Volbi said, don't tell anyone about Gaiva until they're 25 years old. Just tell everyone how great they are. Right? This is where I'm being cholik a little bit. Just tell someone how great they are. They can do, yes, encourage them to do more, but don't worry about someone. Halavai, someone should be a Baal Gaiva and think he's such a great Jew. Let him have a positive perspective of himself. Let him believe that he actually matters. Like the Rambam is paskening halacha. That yes, my next move will change the course of the entire universe. To try to believe that. Let's instill that for 25 years, and then we'll talk about, be careful you don't become a Baal Gaiva. But let's try to really believe that. To instill those positive feelings in ourselves and in others around us. It's not an easy thing to do, but we have to rewire our brain to think that way. Sammy gave me a copy of Charlie Harari's new book before Yontif. So I had this list to read it. Charlie Harari's new book called Unlocking Greatness. And one of the yesodos that he talks about a lot throughout the Sefer, but especially in the third parak, third chapter, is neuroplasticity. Heard of that term before? Neuroplasticity? Neuroplasticity means it's remarkable how not fixed our brain is, how open our brain is to being rewired. Then there's unbelievable studies and unbelievable things that our brain can actually do if we're forced to do it or we try to do it. If we change the way that we think, I always say, it's the part that I tell you all the time from the Sfas Emes, Lo sesur achrei levavchem v'achrei einechem doesn't mean don't look at things that a Jew shouldn't look at. It also means that. But more deeply, it means don't be fooled, right, by your simplistic perspective of things. Don't be fooled by your physical eyes. Don't be fooled by your simplistic understanding of reality, because there's a way to change that reality. Don't spend your whole life thinking I'm an average guy and become an average guy. Think I'm a tzaddik and become a tzaddik. Think that the world depends upon me and change the world. That's called neuroplasticity, the ability to rewire the brain by convincing parts of the body that it can do things, or part of the mind, that it can do things that it thought it couldn't do. And there's unbelievable studies about people who literally had only a part of their brain that was functioning, and were able to do things with that part of the brain that are usually done by a different part of the brain. Or how about a blind person who was able to use his tongue, who was able to train his tongue, obviously with the help of some science and technology, to see. The same way that the eye is able to absorb an image and process it on the brain, well, this guy didn't have the ability to do that with his eyes, so he learned how to see with his tongue. I never heard that study before. I read that in Charlie's book. Imagine that your tongue, using the nerve endings of the tongue to be able to transmit images to the brain. Can you imagine? Seeing with your tongue. The first thing I thought about was Harsinai. Harsinai, Roa Mesakolos, they're able to see the sounds and all the chushim were interchangeable. The fact that eyes see and fingers touch and taste buds taste is only because that's like the factory setting. That's the standard setting. But maybe eyes can hear and maybe ears can see. That's what happened at Harsinai. So we've locked into a certain reality. Again, both a physical reality and a self-perception. And if I change that, if I believe that I matter, and the Rebbe tells me enough times, and he says it with sincerity, hopefully I come to actually accept that. And I become different. I literally become a different person. There's a very famous woman, a famous study that was done. It's written about in numerous books. A psychologist named Ellen Langer. Ellen Langer was the first female tenured professor of psychology at Harvard University. And as a young woman, as a young psychology professor, she did the following experiment. I don't know if anyone's ever heard about this. Very interesting. New York Times wrote about it in 2014. What if age is nothing but a mindset? You know what she did? She had two locations. In one location, there were a bunch of grumpy old men sitting around complaining how hard it is to be old men. In a second location, take a look, source number 5. One day, in the fall of 1981, 8 men in their 70s stepped out of a van in front of a converted monastery in New Hampshire. They shuffled forward. A few of them arthritically stooped, a couple with canes. Then they passed through the door and entered a time warp. Perry Como crooned on a vintage radio. Ed Sullivan welcomed guests on a black and white TV. Everything inside, including the books on the shelves and the magazines lying around, were designed to conjure 1959. Essentially, she took old men and put them back in their college dorms as young, cool guys on the football team. And she wanted to see if they pretend that they're young guys, will they feel younger? Will they look younger? At the end of this experiment, she showed pictures of the men, of two groups of men, right, the same age, with all the same problems going into it in terms of back pain and this pain and that pain. Right? And she showed the pictures to just random groups of people. So which group looks younger? Right? They were both smiling. And everyone said, this group looks younger. They became younger. By pretending to be younger, they became younger. This was to be the men's home for 5 days as they participated in a radical experiment cooked up by a young psychologist named Ellen Langer. And Dr. Ellen Langer proved, right, that you are where your mind is. You know who else said that? The Baal Shem Tov. The place where you put your mind, that's where you are. So if I walk around all day, as it says in Pirkei Avos, Alti Rasha Bifnei Atzmecha, if I walk around all day thinking I'm a Rasha, I'll become a Rasha. And if I walk around all day, V'amidu Talmidim Harbe, believing that the world's resting on my shoulders, then I'm going to go outside and change the world and make a difference in the world. Rabbi Yisrael Belsky was asked, in what schus did you become Rabbi Belsky? Rabbi Belsky passed away not so long ago. Rabbi Belsky was an unbelievable Talmud Chacham in all areas of Torah. In addition to having a massive understanding of science and medicine and many, many Chachmos, Rabbi Belsky was said about him, there were two things he didn't know how to do. One was that he didn't know how to fix his own car. Okay, most people don't know how to do that. If your engine goes out, he didn't know how to do that. And there was one other, I don't remember what the other one was. There was one other thing he didn't know how to do. Basically everything else he knew how to do. Mamish knew everything. A real, jack of all trades, as he was described in a Mishpacha article a couple months back. So Rabbi Belsky was asked, and this is brought in the article biography that they put out recently, Rabbi Belsky was asked, in what schus did you become Rabbi Belsky? What did your mother do? Your mother must have sat in the corner zugging Tehillim all day long. So he said, no. He said Tehillim, but no. Your mother must have had the longest Shemona Esrei of like any woman since Sari Menu. No. Your mother must have stood by the Shabbos candles crying her eyes out by lich benching, davening like, please Hashem, allow my son to be a Talmud Chacham. No. He says, no, it was none of those things. Rav Belsky said, if I became anything in this world, in his humility, I don't know I'm so great, but if you think I'm so great, I'll tell you. If I became anything in this world, it's because when I was a kid, my mother used to sing to me, you are my sunshine, my only sunshine. That's what he said. That's how he knew all of Shas and Poskim. That's how he was the head of the OU with Rav Schechter and had a deep, thorough understanding of the scientific realities of modern-day food processing. Because his mother sang to him, you are my sunshine, my only sunshine. Rav Belsky said, yeah, my mom believes in me. When someone believes in you, and that becomes, I light up my mother's world, and by definition, I light up the whole world. I'm the sun. I'm the sun, right? Not only S-O-N, but S-U-N. I light up the world. So Rav Belsky said, that's how I became great. And when a person develops positive language in that way, a person thinks differently about himself. It's hinted to in the Parsha. It's hinted to in the Parsha we read yesterday, because in Parsha Shmini, when it describes the non-kosher animals, take a look in source number 6. What do you see? The Pasuk says, in describing the non-kosher animals, the four animals, right? What does it take to be kosher? You need two signs. Split hooves and chew your cud. There are four animals, be careful, says the Torah, that have one or the other. The gamal, the shafan, and the arneves. The camel, the hyrax, and the hare have chew their cud but don't have split hooves. And the pig, the chazir, has split hooves but doesn't chew its cud. Take a look at these psukim and tell me something interesting that the Bali Musar point out. Achazel lo sochlu, mimali ger mifarse parsa, of the animals that have one of the signs, these may not be eaten. Es hagamal, you can't eat a camel. Why can't you eat a camel? Kimale gerahu, it chews its cud. However, parsa inena mafris.
Es ha-shafan, pasakai, ki ma'ale geirahu, ufarsa lo yafris. Es ha-neves, ki ma'ale geirahu, parsa lo yafrisa. Es ha-chazir, the pig, it has split hooves, but geirah lo yigar, but it doesn't chew its cud. What do you notice in how the Torah presents the shortcomings of each of these four animals? No, I didn't. It says what? It says what it's doing right first, exactly. It points out what it's doing right before it points out what it's doing wrong. It points out what it's doing right before it points out what it's doing wrong. It says that this, who did he quote? I must say. Oh, yeah? Okay, I didn't hear it. Yeah, you hear? It always points out positive, what's going right. Wow, you're doing so good. You could do better. You could also be a little better about X, Y, or Z. But first it points out, we always have to start with positive thinking of ourselves. I always say, if you ask someone, if I said, let's be good Jews, let's be very thoughtful Jews, let's spend the next 2 minutes not talking, let's spend the next 2 minutes making a cheshbon nefesh. So I almost guarantee that everyone here would say, cheshbon nefesh, okay, cheshbon nefesh, spiritual accounting. I was late for davening today, and I should have made my brachos more slowly when I ate my breakfast. And I didn't learn enough Torah this Shabbos. And most people think of cheshbon nefesh as what? Point out everything I'm doing wrong. Let's think about every single thing that I'm not yet doing right. How many people say, oh, cheshbon nefesh? Cheshbon nefesh. I said moda ani when I got out of bed this morning. And I washed my hands at tilos yodayim. And I said asher yotzer if I went to the bathroom. And I made a bracha on my food. Forget the fact that I could have made it slower, but I made a bracha on my food. How many people think of cheshbon nefesh where we start with the positive and then we point out, oh, by the way, it's not a bad idea to also improve X, Y, or Z. That's what the Torah is saying here. Look at all the things these animals are doing right. And that's why Lasid Lavo, Chazal will say, the pig's going to be kosher. Because you know what? The pig is very bad right now. But we point out, you know what? You have split hooves. That's good. Baruch Hashem, you have split hooves. Now you just got to chew your cud and you'll be a kosher animal. If we focus on the positive, we point out what's happening right before we point out what unfortunately is going wrong. And if that's the attitude that a person has, then a person can accomplish great things. Okay, now I want to connect this to something I was thinking about in terms of Sfiras HaOmer. And you're going to say, what does this have to do with Sfiras HaOmer? But let's see. Let's take a look. Sfiras HaOmer is the time of the year where a Jew is trying to better himself. How do we start Pirkei Avos? We learn Pirkei Avos. How do we begin? What's the first thing we say? Kol Yisrael Yesh Lam Chayak Lam Hav. You should just know, before you overwhelm me with all the midos that you have yet to develop, you should just know you're a Jew and you're good. You have a chelik. We're going to try to make that chelik bigger by refining our character. But you should just know, I'm pointing out from the start, the fact that you're a Jew, as Rabbi Tzvi Machlis used to say, that already makes you worthy. You have a Jewish neshama. It doesn't matter if you have a law degree or a doctorate degree or if you finish Shas. You're a Jew. And by definition, kol Yisrael yesh lam chelik li'olam haba. You are worthy. Now we learn Pirkei Avos and we try to better ourselves. We try to better ourselves so that at the end of my life I can feel that I was mekayim that vart from the Chizkei Avos. Al tivaz l'chol adam. I didn't let the world down. Because I reached my potential. I did the best that I could. If you look at the Rambam, when he started to write the Yad HaChazaka, his magnum opus, 14 sections of filled with many more subsections of Halacha, what's the first thing the Rambam writes? What's the title page? You ever see the front page of the Rambam? How does it begin? He quotes a pasuk which you have on the page in front of you. Here's what he writes. Before he does anything, the Rambam writes on the title page, he quotes the pasuk you have on the page right in front of you, Oz lo evosh ba'biti al kol mitzvosecha. I saw this insight in the Sichos Bavodas Hashem on page 160. He says, why does the Rambam start off his magnum opus, Oz lo evosh, now I don't have to be ashamed, ba'biti as kol mitzvosecha. I don't have to be embarrassed, you know why? Because I glanced, habit means to glance, I glanced at all of your mitzvahs. What the Rambam is saying, and what the Sichos Bavodas Hashem is suggesting, is that when did the Rambam write this pasuk? When he finished writing the Rambam says, oh, now I can put at the beginning of my Sefer, now that I've completed this very thorough glance, much more than a glance, of Kol HaTorah Kula, Oz Lo Evosh, now I don't have to be embarrassed. I can come back to Hashem at the end of my life
the Rambam felt, I can come back to Hashem at the end of my life and say, Hashem, I met my potential. I did something great in the world. I wrote the Rambam. I wrote the Mishnah Torah. I wrote the Yad HaChazaka. Right? The Rambam is telling us if a person reaches his potential, he has nothing to be embarrassed of. And if he doesn't, because he doesn't believe in himself, then chaval, he should be embarrassed. Why didn't anyone tell him that the world is counting on him? Why did he let humanity down? Why didn't he believe, like the Rambam Paskin, the Nochos Tshuva, that your next move is going to tip the scales? So let's just learn a little bit of Rambam, a question from the Hagos Haimonios, and then a little bit more Rambam, okay? Just very quickly, for another 15 minutes. The Rambam and Hilchos Tshuva in the fifth parak. Let's just review. These are Yesodistic Rambams. You have to know these Rambams. Rishus kol Adam nesun olam. Talk about neuroplasticity in its earliest form. The Rambam says a person has to know, neuroplasticity is just a fancy way of saying free will. You can choose to be great, or you could choose to not believe in yourself and not be great. Rishus kol adam nisunalo. Every person has the ability to choose. Free will. Im rotza lahatos atzmo lederach tov elio tzaddik harishus biyado. If you want to become a tzaddik, then go do it. What's stopping you? You're not smart enough, you're not capable enough, you have too many averos, too much yetzer hara. So change. Decide to make a change in your life. Harishus biyado. The option is yours. Im rotza lahatos atzmo lederach rav lios rasha. And if you want to choose, it's a choice. Being a Rosh is a choice. The Rambam says, if you want to choose to not believe in yourself, to not make good choices, harishus biyado. The choice is yours. Hu shekasev b'Torah, that's what we find in the Torah, heina adam haya ke'echad mimenu ledas tovera. Klomar, hein min zeshe le'adam haya echad ba'olam. There's a one-of-a-kind creature in the world. It's not found by jackrabbits or coyotes. And it's not found by orangutans. It's not found by exotic fish, tropical fish. There's only one species, there's only one type in the world that has this ability to choose between good and evil. You know what that is? It's called Adam. Hein min zesha la'adam haya echad ba'olam. This min, this species called Adam, is unique in the world that what? That it has the ability to choose. Ve'ein lo min sheini doma lo b'zeh ha'inyan. There's nothing that compares to it. A star or a blade of grass can't choose, can't make choices. It's programmed. Man has the ability to choose. Man has the ability to assess what is good and what is evil. I had an interesting conversation with Gabriella Weinberg last night. I told her that America bombed Syria. So she got all nervous, said, oh my gosh, maybe they're going to attack us. I said, nah, I said, do you know how far away Syria is from New Jersey? They can't attack us. You're safe, don't worry. She's getting all nervous. But then she said, and she sounded very liberal. She's like, and how do we, maybe we're wrong. Maybe they're, you know. So I said, it's true. Who's to say that, you know, that maybe we're the good guys? I said, they're bad guys. I said, we have to bomb them. They're bad guys. I said, how do we know they're bad guys? Maybe we're bad guys. So I said, you have to believe in your ability to assess a situation. I said, you're right, you could say that. You could say that Hitler was right, Jews are bad. But you have to ask yourself, and you have to hopefully maintain a certain seichel, and again, maybe Hitler thinks that he's right. Yeah, in a chanami. Maybe he really thinks there's something bad about Jews just because they're born Jews. It doesn't make sense to me. It seems totally illogical to me, and pure evil and hatred. So maybe he thinks he's right, but I have to believe that I have a compass, an internal compass that can point me towards right and wrong. And when innocent people are suffering at the hands of their own government, and a government that's run as a democracy, where people, I said, Gabriel, you have your religious freedom in America, you have certain rights in America. People in Syria don't have those rights. So we have to believe that what? That man has the ability to make choices. And there are good choices and there are bad choices. And one could always be very philosophical about it. Well, who's to say your good choices are right? Maybe this society's choice is more correct. But a person has to believe that he has the ability to think and to know what to do. There's nothing that's stopping you from making that choice. You want to eat from the Eitz Hadas Tovara? Adam and Chava had that choice, and they did. Halacha Beis. Al Yavur B'machshav Tach. It shouldn't enter your thinking. What foolish people think. And many, unfortunately, unthinking Jews. Jews who haven't turned their minds on, who are walking around like a golem. A golem means like a lifeless being. I think the same thing. God forbid to think that you're born, you were created to be a tzaddik or a rasha. Ain hadavar kein, says the Rambam. Ela kol adam va'adam roi lios tzaddik kamosh rabbeinu a rasha kiravam. You could be a tzaddik who inspires other, like Moshe Rabbeinu. You could be like a Ravim ben Nevat, who's not only chotei, but the Navi says he's what? Chotei umachti. He sins and he causes others to sin. You could be a chacham. You could be a fool. You could be merciful. You could be cruel. You could be generous. You could be stingy. Those choices are all yours. V'chein kol, shar kol hadeos. All those choices are yours. Says the Rambam in Halacha Gimel, v'ein lo mi sheyachpehu. V'lo gozer alav. No one's forcing you. You choose what you want to be. V'lo mi shemoshcho le'echad b'shnei adrachim. There's nothing that's pulling you in a particular direction. And the choice, again, is entirely yours to decide. Do I want to live a life of good or a life of bad? Do I see myself positively, or do I, God forbid, see myself negatively? You get the sense. You see what the Rambam's saying. Go to Halacha Hey. Rambam continues in Halacha Hey, the end of source 8. Ve'ikar zehi ikar gadol hu, v'hu amud ha-Torah v'ha-mitzvah, and this principle, to believe that you can choose, is one of the great principles upon which the entirety of Torah and mitzvahs stands upon, and it rests upon. Shenema re'ei nasati lefanecha yom etzachayim v'satov v'samav v'sasarah. Do you want to live a life of true spiritual living, which is good, or God forbid, a life that's you're the walking dead, which is bad? Because of Re'ei Anochi Nosein Lefneichem Yom Brachu Klala Klomar Nosein Lefneichem Harashus Biyedcha. The choice is yours. V'kol Sheyachbo Tzadim Lasos V'Maisa Bnei Adam Osa. Whatever you want to do, you do. Bein Tov and Bein Wrong. You get the point. Everyone gets the point. What's the problem with all these rams that we just spent the last 10 minutes learning? What's the problem with every one of those paragraphs? The premise of that whole paragraph, of every one of these halachos in the fifth paragraph of Hilchos Tshuva, what does it go against? No. Maybe also, but even more than that. What does it go against? A gemara that you've heard of before. A gemara Maseches Nida. A gemara Maseches Nida. Says the Hagos Maimonios in the Rambam in source number 9, Tema. I don't understand. The Rambam, again, let's go back. The Sichos Bavodas Hashem on page 160 said that when the Rambam wrote the Mishnah Torah, he put a pasuk at the beginning, now I don't have to be embarrassed, I met my potential, I made good choice and I became the Rambam. Gevaldik, you became the Rambam. You became the Rambam. Shkoyach, you became the Rambam. We thank you. Klal Yisrael is very thankful to you. And the Rambam says to us very clearly here, don't be a fool. Don't be a Goyisha fool, he says, and don't be a Jewish fool. Jews and non-Jews alike who believe that what? That there's no free will and the choices are made for you and you were born a certain way. No, believe that you could be a Rasha or you could be a Tzaddik. It's up to you. You could be smart, you could be stupid. It's up to you. You could be generous or you could be stingy. It's up to you. You could be thoughtful or you could be cruel. It's up to you. Says the Hagos Maimonios on the Rambam, that's not true. I thought that a person is programmed. The Gemara Nida says that Hashem says to an Neshama, before it comes to this world, you don't have the full text of the Gemara in front of you. Let's see if I can pull it up quickly. Never have the Gemara that I need in this room. Okay. Al-Tidag. Okay, let's read it inside. Let's see how he says it. It's good enough. We'll get the gist of it from the Hagolos Maimonios. Tema beperish amar. Beferish. It's explicitly stated where? In Parakol Hayad. Where is that? Maseches Nida. Where the Gemara says that there's a malach. Hamamun al Harayon, the Malach who's in charge of pregnancy, at the moment of conception. Yeah? Laila Shemo. Nota as a tipa, and it takes that drop of seed as it's about to fertilize that egg, and it's brought before Hashem, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu paskins. Right? This one's going to be strong, this one's going to be weak, this one's going to be foolish, this one's going to be wise. So a lot of who we are is programmed. That's what the Gemara says. You are born with a certain nature. And every one of us feels that. Right? I know I'm a more angry person, and I see my roommate's more relaxed about certain things. And I know that my roommate has an easier time grasping things. He's smarter. He's objectively smarter. I don't think he did anything to get that. He's just a smarter guy. He's been smarter since first grade. Right? They didn't do anything different. He didn't have a different breakfast cereal than I did. We ate the same Fruity Pebbles for breakfast in first grade. We're both putting the same junk into our bodies. Somehow he turned out smart and got out of 1600 on the SATs, or however it works. I don't know how they score it today. There's different, something different. It's a lot of 1600? No, didn't they change something since my day? 24, or whatever it is, yeah. And I got much less. I scored much lower, yeah. Sandy's good at math. No? Are you good at math?
Yeah, you are. Okay. Right? And one of my daughters likes to say, you start to learn math, my brain shuts off when I see numbers. Okay, so turn your brain back on. Right? But certain people are good at certain things. So the Gaos Maimonides says that's not just our perception of things, that's a Gemara. There's a Gemara that your neshama, that the drop of seed that became you, was programmed to be healthier or not as healthy, to be taller, to be shorter, to have blue eyes, to have brown eyes, to be smarter, to be not as smart, to be more naturally giving, or to be a little more naturally stingy. So what is the Rambam talking about? So perhaps the answer to the Rambam is the Rambam. And it goes back to everything we were trying to say, V'amidu talmidim harpe, and believing in ourselves and believing in the people around us. Yes, a person is born. The Rambam himself understands this Gemara, and he knows this Gemara. But the Rambam also says that you, as a person of Bechira, and a person of neuroplasticity who could choose to rewire oneself and to see oneself differently, despite the situation in which you find yourself, right? You have the ability to choose to what? To program yourself differently. And through hard work, you could overcome any of those shortcomings to the point that you don't have an excuse at the end of your life to say, well, I was a Russian because of the deck of, you know, the hand of cards I was dealt from the deck. So overcome it. Do it differently. The Rambam, in source number 10, in the Shmona Prakim is the Rambam's, sort of his Hakadama to Pirkei Avos, and really a very interesting philosophical treatise in its own right, where the Rambam describes how do we work? How do we work? How does our brains work? How do our neshamas work? How do our bodies work? The Rambam talks about in the Shmona Prakim, just like if a person's sick, you go to a doctor of flesh and blood. So when a person's spiritually sick, you turn to the rabbis to get guidance. So the Rambam is our spiritual doctor here. And the Rambam writes in the final of the 8 prakim, of this introductory section to Pirkei Avos, in the Shmona prakim, the Rambam says, let's look, just read a little bit inside. E efshar sheivali ra'adam itchilas inyana b'teva bal maila. No one, or kim'at no one, let's say, if you want to say, well, Moshe, I told you before, the Chassam Sofer said, Moshe was born, his birthday was his birthday. From the day Moshe was born, the house was filled with light. Okay, fine, so maybe there'll be some exceptions. But more or less, there's no one who's born mitchilas inyano b'teva bal maila. No one's born a bal madrega. Does it come more naturally to some people? Are some people naturally smarter, naturally more generous? Yes, those are all true. Right? But at the end of the day, what the Rambam is emphasizing in Hilchos Tshuva, and the answer to the Gaos Maimonides' question, is that more important than what you were initially given, in terms of the hand that you were dealt, is what you choose to do with it. That's the Rambam's point. That you have the ability to choose how to respond, what to make of it. No one, he says, is born b'teva abal maila. No one is born b'teva abal chisaron. Kemosh e efshar. Take a look inside. Sheivaleida adam b'teva bal malachim and malachos. No one is born, right, with the knowledge of how to perform a particular malacha. No one's born a car mechanic. In the non-thinking world. In the world outside of Bechira, what the Rambam said, man is unique that he has Bechira. A spider doesn't have Bechira. And a spider actually is born, it knows how to make a web. It's already programmed. But when you're born, you didn't know how to do anything. You didn't know 1 + 1 = 2. You didn't know how to tie your shoes. Animals in the animal kingdom actually are born with some of those things, and that's because it doesn't have Bechira. It can't learn it in the way that we can. It can't choose it in the way that we can. So no one's born, he says, a doctor. No one's born with the knowledge of Torah. No one's born with the skill to, you know, build a piece of IKEA furniture. Even after you're born, it's hard enough to figure it out with those annoying instructions. Aval efshar la'adam shivaleid b'teva muchan l'maylo l'chisarot. Ah, look at the words. This is the answer. This is the answer to the Gaos Maimonides. But a person is born with what? With a nature that is what? That is somewhat inclined towards a particular direction. Again, you can still choose. You could have the potential to be the biggest Talmud Chacham, you can never become it. Or God forbid, the opposite is true. There's so many choices that have to be made. Do I want to use the kochos? Yes, I have a certain netia. That's true. Bios pu'ula sa'achas mehen yosar kala alav bipu'ula acheres. Yes. Will some things come easier to you than other things? Yes. That makes sense. That's true, says the Rambam. V'hamashal bo, in the third line, some people are more dry, are more intellectual. Yeah, their nature is more dry and cool. They're not as emotional, but they're able to think very clearly.
va'aleches bo ma'ata. And the moisture, so to speak, right, the raw emotions of that person are not as strong. And other people are the opposite. So each person has his way of going about his business, has his way of feeling, has his way of thinking. And what the Rambam goes on to describe, and again, we're not going to read all of it inside, obviously, but the Rambam goes on to describe here is the very similar lishonos to see at the end of the paragraph that he used in the Mishnah Torah, that essentially the choice is yours. Will you have a netiyah? Sure. But don't forget Malcolm Gladwell's 10,000 hour rule. The more time you put in, the more you'll develop it. So yes, are you born with the potential maybe to be a little smarter, a little more this, a little more that? For sure. But the godless of being a human being, and the achrayis that Chazal are telling us, in the opening Mishnah Pirkei Avos, Amidu Talmidim Harbe, doesn't mean just amass a lot of students. It means like the Rav Soloveitchik said, like the Chazon Ish said, develop yourself a lot. Work on yourself a lot. That's what Pirkei Avos is about. That's what Sfiras HaOmer is about. That every day of Sfiras HaOmer, a person is able to literally become a different human being. Chesed Shebet Tiferes. Gevura Shebet Tiferes. Tiferes Shebet Tiferes. That's what we're working on this week. We don't fully understand what the Kabbalistic terms mean, but we understand that there's nothing in the world, again, I'm not going to read it all inside now because it's late, but there's nothing in the world that's forcing me to be a certain way. There are, yes, am I programmed? Yeah, that's the Gemara in Maseches Nida. There's a truth to that. But the most important choice, do I want to live a life of tzidkus or a life of rishus, is a choice that's entirely mine. That's unique to human beings. So therefore, al tibaz l'chol adam. Don't let the world down. Make a cheshbon and nefesh, like Hashem did in the Torah. Focus first on the positive, all the things that the non-kosher animals are doing right. And then add, you know, it would also be advantageous if you touched up a little bit here and there. When a person sees himself in that way, he becomes a great person. That's the avodah. The world stands upon your shoulders. Omid. Midu tamidim harpe. All right. So I hope I was mekayim this mishnah and this mitzvah of being ma'amid my students. You should believe in yourself because I believe in you. Shkoyach. To be continued.